Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel, Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. And we're looking at this Perek. Yechezkel is addressing the false prophets, that he's now talking to those people who mislead and misled the nation of Israel, and is divided really into two major sections. The one is against the prophets and the one is against the sorceresses. So we're going to look at it each individually and the repercussions on each group. So in the first section, Yechezkel starts off by addressing the false prophets. One should also just pay attention as we enter into this parak, the difference in the way that Yechezkel talks to the false prophets and the way that Yirmiyahu, his colleague in Israel, speaks to the false prophets. Yirmiyahu is actually in a place where the false prophets are. They are currently active as Yirmiyahu is living, and they are misleading the people day in, day out. Yechezkel, in a certain sense, is a lot less emotional about it. We hear a lot less of his anger, his anguish. He's really matter-of-factly describing what they do and what the repercussions are going to be doing. He has, in a certain way, he is sort of more separate from the problem because he's not right there on the ground. So he has the liberty to discuss it more in a clinical fashion than in the way that Yirmiyahu would. Yirmiyahu, who screams out in rage at these people. Yechezkel is going to describe it in a much more matter-of-fact description. So here's what he says. He talks to, he's told by Hashem to talk to the Nevi'eh Milibom, those people who prophesize from their heart. So Hashem says, you know what? You are like Keshualim Bechoravois Nevi'echa Yisrael Hayu. They're like the foxes among the ruins, right? And loyalism by parotos, you didn't fill up the holes, and you didn't stay when the war comes. Because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, haloi mechazei shav chazisem, miksam kazov amartem, you give false prophecies, and you say things that I never actually said. So in response to this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says explicitly and very carefully, what you're going to do is you're going to address these people, and the repercussions are going to be pretty simple, pretty clear, and that is the following: you're going to, number one, besodami lo hiyu, you're not going to be among in the secret of my people. Ubiksav beis Yisrael lo yikosefu, you're not going to be written down among my people. Veladmas Yisrael lo yivo, you're not going to come to my holy land. Why? Because you said shalom ve'ein shalom. You said it's peace, everything's all right, and it really wasn't all right. They was building this sort of this weak mechitza, this weak reed division, and you're putting cement onto it. That's what's going to happen. So you know what Hashem says? Well, I'm going to make it rain. I'm going to make it storm. I'm going to make it hail. I'm going to bring over storm winds and knock over this mechitza that you made. This is what is the first section of this parak. So just a few things to focus on before we move into the last section. Why are they like foxes? Why are the false prophets considered like foxes? So the Malbim says very simply, foxes have two attributes which are being used over here. Number one, foxes get into vineyards and attack and use other people's goods, their fields, their chickens, through small holes. If the fence isn't complete, they get in through small holes. So number one is that they would the Nevi'eh Sheker did not protect Israel from the enemies that would come in through the small holes. And number two is that foxes are the first to leave a bad situation through the smallest hole in the rear fence. They're not there to take responsibility. The false prophets would not take responsibility. When things went bad, they were out, they were gone. They weren't interested in following up with all the repercussions of what they said. That's how the Malbim looks at it. Now, Barbanel says, you'll notice something else that's interesting about foxes, and that is that foxes aren't usually found in a yeshuv, in a civilized setting. They are found in destruction, in places which are abandoned. And he says, that's what you see over here. Where were these people in the times of David and Shlomo? Where were these people at the time when Israel was at its peak, when it's at its ascent? When you see all these crazies come out, it's only when it's a situation already of spiritual sickness. That's when you start seeing strange voices, where you see people who think they should be leaders, that really aren't leaders arriving, like foxes. In the repercussions, just the three things that these people are going to be barred from are from Sod Hashem, the secret of Hashem, from being written up as Beis Israel and from being entering the land of Israel. So what are these three things? So the Gemara in Ksubos at Kuf Yud Beis and Aleph, the very tail end of Ksubos, which focuses on the beauty of Eretz Israel, says that this refers to Soda Ibur. That's the way that we Israel have opportunity of shaping the calendar through the lunar cycle. Smicha, the transmission of Smicha from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu and the land of Israel. These are the three things that they're being barred from. These seem to be three aspects which we have an active involvement and partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Gemara in Ksubos. The Rambam says, maybe on a more practical level, that the Sod Hashem, the secret of Hashem, refers to the Torah. The written being written down with Bnei Beis Israel is Olam Abba, and of course Israel, the land of Israel, is the land of Israel, which means to say there's essentially three dimensions. There's the physical world that we succeed in, which is Israel. There's the future world, Olam Abba, which we're going to spiritually succeed in, and there's Torah, which is the vehicle between the one and the other. They're going to be barred from all these access points because of the way they've acted. Just looking at this at the end of this whole section where Hashem talks about these Nevi'im building this reed wall and cementing it. What's really going on over here? So the Malbim says that you can imagine that what the people do is they created a sort of this very, very weak type of mechitza. And what do the false prophets do? They, instead of taking away the false mechitza, they cemented it into place to give the people protection. What is the where is this mechitza? Between what and what? So the Malbim says, as he famously said earlier on, when we looked at Perek Dalet, he says there's two walls over here. There's a wall between Israel and their enemies, which they think is going to protect them. They believe they have security. And even though it's completely worthless, it's going to be penetrated very easily. The Nevi'ei Sheker says, no, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Just keep cementing the wall. And ultimately, it is not all right. That's the one mechitza that they strengthen when they shouldn't. And the other one is the mechitza between them and Hashem. That they keep thinking that they're no longer... I have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Nevi'ei Sheker says, you're right, you don't go in that avenue. Fend for yourselves, make alliances. And these are the two mechitzas that they're strengthening, but they shouldn't. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to break them both down. You're going to see that I'm here. I'm here for you, and the enemies are also here for you, because ultimately you were strengthening a misnomer in the people. The second and last section of this perek is a prophecy to a vision to Benois Amecha Hamisnabaois Milibeihem, to the daughters of Israel who prophesies from their heart. And this refers to, as the Mepharshim understand, is referring to the sorceresses. This means to say not people who are talking specifically about visions of the future, but they are using, conjuring up certain methods. They're trapping souls to be able to try to talk about signs about who's going to live, who's going to die. And in the last section of the Perek, Yechezkel goes into specific examples of the Misapros, Kesosos, Atzile Yodav, there's pillows, there's bonnets, all types of different things. The Mepharshim debate as to how this looks. You know, the Malbim says that they would bring up spirits of the dead or voices from their heads, the bonnet covering their head, or between under their arms, which he says obviously relates to the two positions of the tefillin, where the tefillin are worn on the arm facing the heart, on the head, meaning the spiritual, the intellectual, or the emotional. These are two apertures which they use and they misuse to attract the dead. Now, Barbanel goes into a long description about how these soothsayers, what they would do is they'd lie people down and they'd have a pillow under their back, under their heart, and they would put their hands underneath it, the Atzilei Yodayim, and they would cover their face, and this is when they would hear the voices. So there's a whole description about how they would conduct the sorcery. But either way, says Yechezkel, Vatechalelena oisi el ami, you emptied me out, you made me empty to my people, because of what you needed for your bread. What this means, to kill people who should not die, and to make live people who should be dead. What's happening over here? So the Malbim says is that, why would people do this? Because it was a good source of profit. You know, the society is in a state of turmoil. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. So people stop off. You know, have your palms read. Let's look at all these things. Let's read the horoscopes. Let's try to see what's working out. And they'd make a good buck off people's, they'd be able to feed themselves and have lunch. Why? That's what they wanted. And ultimately, they would kill people who didn't need to be killed. Meaning tzaddikim would be told, oh, you have no hope in life. They'd lose their hope. They would die. And people who should have no hope, they would tell, oh, you're all right. Everything's fine. They would give them hope. They'd give life to people who should be really turning around. That's what seems to be happening. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the parak, through the words of Yechezkel, says the repercussions are very clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rip off these bonnets. He's going to rip out these hands. Those are the places that they used to capture the dead, or these voices to give these signs. and return them and return these messages to their place. And what some of the Mefarshim say, or the Mitzvot David says, the Malbim says, is that they would use these places to capture the souls of the dead, to use them as instruments to influence people's lives and to give certain signs, obviously little pieces of signs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to release those souls to the places that they came from. You're no longer going to be able to misuse them, to abuse them, to give these false messages. And this concludes his dual message, the message to the Nevi'im, who are talking about Shalom Ve'ein Shalom, when they're saying that there's peace and there's no peace, and to the sorceresses who are using different signs to create a sense of either false security for those who don't need security and creating a sense of despair for those perhaps who need to have the hope. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.